Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
To give you massage because you were so tense from all the money.
I'm tense from all the money. Look, once we win these races, we're going to be swimming in money. And that's what I call a happy ending.
Charlie, you're so funny. That's not a happy ending.
I love her. Breakout star Wei Jin Liao from the movie Charlie. Written, produced, directed. What didn't he do on this? Michael Skordakis from Scenes Plus. Hey, how's it going?
Good. No, it's a team effort, man. It takes a village, right? Is that what they say?
Oh, it was a fantastic performance. It was an honor to be part of that great cast and crew. Without giving away the plot, because I do want folks to, you know, watch this.
Sure.
What is Charlie about?
Charlie is about a kind of a happy-go-lucky guy who manages a boat for his boss. He's also a yacht salesman. He also has a gambling addiction and a very comedic wife who keeps him in check. And there's a collection of characters down at the dock who fulfill out his role there. It's intended to be a comedy throwback type of summer movie in the vein of Weekend at Bernie's, Home Alone, bigger than life type likable characters.
I don't want to get into this conversation without acknowledging that we're doing this podcast on your 30th birthday, which is fantastic to be a part of.
Yeah, it's not my 30th birthday, but in the movies, I think it's the age range that you can play, right? Isn't that what the,
so
that's
what
one actress told me.
What is your age range then? Give me your range.
18 to 60.
Oh,
I think
God.
That's the, right?
You're really available for a lot of roles then.
That's the whole goal, man. That's you guessed it.
I'm not above shaving off a year or two in certain situations if it makes a difference. You?
Okay. So back to Charlie.
Okay, Mr. Fib About Your Age. I want to give your company some love, and you really created a great opportunity for performers to blow up. Tell us how Scenes Plus got started.
Oh, many years ago when I started acting, and acting is, you become very almost self-employed when you start off. You try to get yourself involved in, engaged in, you know, you try to participate in as many things as you can because you're trying to learn the ropes, trying to meet people, you're trying to figure out whether or not there's something you don't like to do. And so you really kind of put yourself out there. Most of the time on your own dime, you don't get paid for anything. You just have to be part of the process. And in doing so, you know, that's where I was. You really put yourself out there to be part of someone else's production, and you hope it goes well. You hope it completes. And in the end, you hope that you kind of get something out of it, whether it's the networking, the knowledge, the training, and ultimately you want to really have your scene from the movie so that you can build out your reel. And in this business, it's all about show me your work. So when you're applying for something, probably much like an architect or a clothing designer or whatever, say, let me see what you've done. Same thing with acting. They want to see your reel. And it's a collection of roles that you've done over the years. It kind of shows that, you know, you've been on a professional set. You've done something more than student films. You have kind of a range. You've done comedy. You've done commercials. You've done whatever. And it needs to be updated to show that you're actively in the industry. Well, the movies I had done, that was kind of a challenge to get that material from those directors. And a big reason for that was director starting out, typically start with a small crew. They're typically doing everything, you know, and you're just happy part of the process. Unfortunately, something that would take a few months to produce, like, you know, like Charlie, would take a year. So you're kind of trying to keep tabs on a person for years to see if it's been produced, if it, you know, it got completed, it's in some festival cycle, and if they're hopefully nice enough to give you their your section so you can build out your reel. It kind of hit home when I had a friend of mine, an actress friend of mine, Kayla Michelle, who had that exact issue. She called me up. She goes, "Hey, Mike, I need to put together a reel. Can you help me out?" I said, "Yeah, no problem. Just send me your stuff. I'll put it together for you. Not a problem." That was the easy part. The hard part for her was going back and reconnecting with all those directors and trying to find out where the if that movie had ever gotten completed and whether or not they would even give her the footage. In some cases, they wanted to charge her for her time, which was she charged them nothing to be in their movie, but it was an ordeal. So in the acting arena, I've always been kind of a gearhead. I've got a couple degrees, one in IT. I worked at Intel for almost 10 years and always been in cameras. You know, the whole process and the project management of it became very, very familiar to me. So, you know, I started, instead of talking to the other actors, which was always interesting, started making friends with the cinematographers and the lighting people and the sound people and got to know the equipment involved and how they were doing it. And, you know, it became another aspect of it, which became very, very interesting. And so I sought out to correct a lot of the issues that I was having as an actor. And there are some places in San Francisco that you can get involved in. You know, they do these movies in a day type of thing. And there's really no quality assurance in what's being produced or whether or not it's going to be produced or whether or not they're going to give you your footage. And, you know, for us, we started off doing these orphan scenes. We do people with SAG, we need some orphan scenes. They have a non-broadcast clause. So, you know, a lot of SAG people you don't see on our broadcast movies, but they'll call us up and say, "Hey, I need a scene produced, two-person scene in this genre." You know, so we'll write them a 3-4-page script, go out there, shoot it, and give it to them. And I was like, you know, it's kind of a waste of time and effort because we're having a lot of people hit us up for the exact same thing. So why don't we just create a movie, have everyone scene tailored for them and their character and what they're looking for, and then put it within the context of the film, which kills a lot of birds with one stone. Everyone gets what they paid for. The movie gets produced. It allows us to give them their proper IMDb credits. They get all the networking from working with the other actors. They get to work with, you know, a larger script, a larger production. It's just a ton of benefit to it. And so that's when we started these movie-based they're real events, but they're done movie-based. So that's where you came in. We do several of those a year, probably about 5 or 6 a year. We have to schedule them within the other projects that we have, because we also have our own production companies doing, you know, feature films and TV shows and stuff. So it really is a genuine opportunity to reach out to the acting community and give them the material they're looking for to build out their career. And the people I have on our Scenes Plus team, you know, and you met Josh Williams from Audiovisual Films. He has a major motion picture going out right now that just got picked up for release. He's also doing a TV show called Bring the Noise. Leah Omar, who's in San Francisco, does at Epic Rent Entertainment. He's an award-winning filmmaker who does, in addition to films, does super high-end weddings. Bill Hall Entertainment is another award-winning cinematographer. We Ashley Caudron, Cherry Scary, Juan Cruz is our makeup team. Lex and Amber Teo is our FX team. We have people in post, and so we rounded out a nice team that you would meet on any set. Because let's say it's a bucket list item to be on a movie. You found us on, and we're just on Facebook. Make it extremely easy to find us. Scenes Plus, Primetime, find us. You'll, you know, we have a newsletter that comes out once every couple of weeks. And you sign up for the event. You pay to get an event. We team up. You guys get the script, talk about it. We Zoom call over. Everybody meets everybody. And then, you know, the call times are on set. We block, shoot, do takes, correct everything. Then it goes into post-production. So we try to streamline the processes as much as possible. And we try to be very kind of everybody's time. We're very considerate about that. So we don't call everybody to be there at 8 o'clock and have you wait around for 4 hours until your scene shows up. And believe me, I've been there. I'm still out acting. I still show up those sets for, you know, be here at 10. Your scene isn't until like 3 PM. So, we try not to do that. And then we bring the amount of cinema equipment that's appropriate for the shoot, you know, pre-pandemic, we had a different set of locations. So it was almost like we were inviting people over to our set. And when you do that, almost like hosting a party, you can have everything on a roll at your disposal. But when you're going out to these different locations, in your case for Charlie, we're at the marina and the boats. It's a confined area. We walked through and thought about what we needed and then, you know, make it appropriate.
Michael Skordakis is with us. What are some of the challenges a small company has in putting together a film, unlike a larger production?
As a small company, we've kind of mitigated a lot of that. I think that, I mean, we own all the equipment, so we're not renting anything. It's all time and effort. And we have resources. I think the big difference is the ability to control the elements. So the advantage of working on a studio lot in one of those big, you know, Costco size buildings that's all yours for whenever is you're able to control the element. You don't need to worry about boat noises and the plane above and the time of day, and you just, you know, you have a lot more control. Minus that, it's all money, man. you can throw money at stuff, it works.
Props to you for making it come across so seamlessly.
Yeah.
I mean, you shoot a movie in one day and have it produced in a couple weeks. That's quite a turnaround. Well done.
It just depends on what you're trying to shoot. I mean, we couldn't shoot Fast and the Furious in a day, but you know, you try to, you know, you use what you have at your disposal. Things like that, you know, Fast and the Furious, Star Wars, you know, something with a lot of special effects and high adventure. That's something obviously that's not going to happen here, but that's, you know, hopefully what we produce helps those actors get to some level of that. It's a stepping stone. It's a big career path for a lot of people. Hey man, give us the money. We'll be happy to do that. Not a problem. So I'm a big movie buff as it is, you know. I'm talking like the Michael Bay, you know, type of movies. Those guy movies, you know, got to blow things up and go fast.
What are your favorites?
My favorite kind of movie is action adventure. Yeah, something with a lot of action, a lot of fast cars, things blowing up, tense moments, dramatic scenes. We have a production in place right now called The Bullet Chronicles, which is trying to capture as much as that we can in that series, and that'll be coming out this year. But yeah, I'm a big action guy.
Do you have to get strong-armed into a chick flick?
Strong-armed? What do you mean?
You know, do it or I won't talk to you kind of thing?
Go see one?
Yeah.
No, not at all, man. No, not at all. No. Now, in fact, one of the first movies that we did, which was really popular, April's Fools, it was considered a chick flick. It's a, you know, from a marketing standpoint, it plays well. It doesn't offend anybody. It plays everywhere. Everyone's happy at the end. I mean, you know, it's a win-win all around. So, and they're fun to produce, man. They're usually meet some very good people with some, it's a different feeling on set. When you do a horror movie, it's a different feeling on set. You're there for a different purpose. There's a different aura about what's being shot and how they're being shot. There's a lot of blood and, you know, confusion on a chick flick or a date flick or whatever. You know, it's just a great environment. So, no, not at all.
Do you get ideas from real life?
Well, yes.
Your personal experiences?
No. For a large part, no. None of my movies try to mirror any of my personal experiences.
Where do you get your ideas from?
Well, Dave, if you had the opportunity to put together a movie and you had the premise for the movie and you started writing, and you kind of knew your limits, you can come up with some pretty good stories.
Charlie's a great story. Your latest in a long line of some films of yours I really like. Summer's Vacation, Josephine, Katie. You wrote all of those?
Yeah, and they're all different. So for me, going to the movie should be an enjoyable experience. I don't do movies where, you know, I'm being preachy, or I'm trying to teach you something, or I'm, you know, that's not my thing. My thing is, hey, come in and, you know, and have a good time. And that's what we strive to do. With regards to what we do for Scenes Plus, which is different than what I do in my own production company, Mighty Corndog Films, that's more tailored toward individual scenes in a movie. So Josephine is much different than Charlie. And if you look carefully at Charlie, Charlie's broken up into a set of scenes purposefully so that we can extract those for people's reels. But they're seamlessly woven together into a movie so that it's a movie. But if you didn't understand, if you didn't know the underlying process, it would, you know, it looks like a movie. But for your parts, for Brian's parts, for Steve Urbano's parts, it was very easy to, that's Steve's scene. That's, you know, that's Bonnie's scene. Bonnie Klopper, who, your scenes were at the beginning of the movie, right?
They were the
opening and closing.
First ones and the last two.
Right.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff you didn't see. Like a lot of Brian's stuff. Bonnie Klopfer, who played Helen. I mean, you meet these people, and Bonnie's one of them. We had never worked with her before. We actually casted her to play opposite Wei-Jin in Josephine. And we had spoken a little bit, gave her a little bit of direction, kind of looked at her background, went in there, and we started blocking out for Josephine that day when we came down to shoot. And we were just blown away, like, you know, like, wow, you're in it 110%. And then same with Charlie. She comes in and it's these bigger than life characters, you know. And I think I gave you a little bit of that direction when we were blocking and rehearsing your scene. You know, a lot of directors, there's a strive for, like, you know, be very dramatic and keep it toned down and stuff. And this was kind of an opposite character. I wanted to be very animated and very Joe Pesci like and very, you know, get out there, and it worked.
Yeah.
And you know, those types of characters in that type of movie is what allows actors to kind of be more than, in a lot of instances, more than what they learned in their acting classes. You can go out there and commit to the role and be something bigger than yourself. One thing a director told me is, I really don't want to see different versions of you. I want you to be a whole different character. And that kind of resonated. Yeah. And I found out that, you know, there's a definitely a few actresses we worked with were, you know, you do the rehearsals and everything. My camera guys are getting ready to shoot. We're getting everything in place. And then once you say action, all of a sudden that person turns into a completely different person. And I'm just like, wow. Okay. Where'd that come from? And I'm, you know, my camera guy looks at me and goes, you see this? Yeah. It's a completely different person we talked to like 2 minutes ago, but that's great. That is a commitment to the role. And you couldn't be in a better place than right now. Everybody wants you to succeed. You know, no one's going to give you any bad criticism or laugh or anything. It's just like, you know, you're all there to do that. That's your opportunity. For me, I did a film called Dr. Hero. And this director, I played the lead role in this thing, Dr. Hero. He was it was kind of a throwback to the old Batman thing where I was a doctor and I was also a superhero. And so I would show up in this baby blue one-piece leotard with this gold underwear on and a gold cape and a mask. And so he wanted to shoot this stuff out in the public. There was a couple of scenes we wanted to shoot. I'm like, okay, let's go. So, you know, you go from the trailer, you're walking out there, and people are kind of taking interest, like, oh, look at this idiot. Let's go follow that circus. So, we, you know, we walk over there, and you have a whole team with you. And, you know, they're all supportive. You're there to do your thing. And you know, the public loses interest after a while because it takes, you know, nothing's really going to happen. It's going to take 10, 15, 20 minutes to set everything up. And, you know, they take off. But, It's those little moments like that where you realize, you know, whatever you're asked to do, and that it's really your time to commit to that role. And you committed to that role. Wajin committed to that role. Steve Urbano and Charlie, who plays the heavy, excellent actor. Farhees Mothali, we had him in several movies. Fantastic foil to the actress that was there, Kendall Robinson. Who, by the way, is a YouTube personality. She's Kendall the Scientist, and she goes across the country to these different museums and schools doing science experiments and teaches kids about science. I mean, it's kind of funny because in doing these movies, a lot of it is getting to know these people and their backgrounds. There's some fantastic people out there who just love acting either as a passion, a side job, you know, they're following a dream or whatever. We're just happy to be part of their career, whatever that may be. So Charlie has done very, very well. Scenes Plus has done very, very well, even through the pandemic. We kept rolling. We have a movie out. We have a movie in post right now called Summer 52, and that was built around a throwback to a 1952, a throwback to the making of a movie in 1952. And a lot of that was done with the actors doing self-tapes. So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. We try to keep everybody engaged and keep the business running through the last year. But I think things are getting better. I'm not quite sure, but, you know, it's you evolve through bad times. You know, you just can't stop. And we've been fortunate to work with a lot of good people. I tell you, though, through the pandemic, there have been a lot of actors who have reached out to us to do single scenes just for them, just so they can kind of keep busy. They can update their reel and stuff. So not so much in the movie format, but you know, we've gone out and helped them in that arena. So and a lot in the Bay Area. We get primarily Bay Area, Sacramento, some people from LA, but primarily Bay Area. I think everything south of Bay is Southern Cal, right? You got Southern Cal, Bay Area, and then Northern Cal, right?
Well, Central would be like San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
You know, that area.
Central, so I'm located up in Sacramento, well, Elk Grove, Sacramento. And we do a lot of work up here, and we do a lot of work in the Bay Area. And we've aided a lot of actors. And we have partnerships with some of the acting studios up here, and Sally Forcier. And it's been great, man. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things. You get to watch a lot of the people that you work with take that jump and become what they want to become. And everyone's career path is different. Everyone's goals are different. We work with Solana Paz, which I think you know Solana. Fantastic actress. We worked with her a lot. In fact, I played her husband a couple times. she's on her professional career path to go to LA and make it big, and I wish her all the luck. John DeMacas, Paul Williams, Aaron Nolan, Jeannie Young, Ernest Bastido, Danny Alban. I mean, at this point, I'm just name dropping, but they're all people that you should see fairly soon in much larger films and in productions. And we're just happy to be part of their career path. I mean, a lot of them are just, and when we started the Scenes Plus channel on Roku and Amazon Fire, so if you have a Fire Stick, download it to there, or if you have a Roku device, just type in Scenes Plus and you'll find us on there as well. The channel is built around not like indie films, or it's not built around any particular genre. It's really to discover new talent. And so, you know, we're building, you know, where tomorrow's talent is today. And it really is. Those films are built to showcase the talent. So while the movie's getting produced and all that stuff, we take the opportunity during the filming of the film, during the production of the film, and, you know, we do a Facebook site for each film. We do as much, you know, there's no NDA involved. You can take us, we're socially, social media, happy, you know, go ahead and post, just, you know, tag us so we can repost it. We want to get the actors and actresses as over as possible with their crowd. That's our goal, is to showcase the actors and actresses. So the movie's very in length on the Scenes Plus channel. It's a work in progress. And you know, I think if you come back in like a year, you have a much larger library. We're going through a lot of stuff right now and remastering everything to go up there. Plus all the stuff we have in production right now. So it's slow going, but it's about the movie that they were in. You can take someone there and say, you know, here's my living. Here's where that scene came from. It came from this film. It's on TV as opposed to it's on YouTube. And it's really worked out well. You can reach a much broader audience. And it really helps showcase a lot of talent. And a lot of the talent is coming from, right now it's coming from California, but we're working with filmmakers across the country. So far it's across the country, but we're looking for international filmmakers as well, who put together very good films that, where we can have the same opportunity to showcase their talent. So I think you'll start seeing things from other filmmakers in addition to Scenes Plus, in addition to our cinematographer's own production houses. So, yeah.
Certainly a gift for actors, Michael. Hey, what's the next thing you're working on?
The next thing we're working on, Bullet Chronicles is coming out. We have a film, we have a series, a couple series. We have a yoga series, Yoga by Jadra, which is a cinematic yoga session. So we take our cinematographers to these wonderful locations, and she does a full hatha yoga. So, you know, anybody who's into yoga and you want to go do that, it's not the studio thing. It's out and about. We have Cosplay Behind the Mask, which is a multi-part series, which we're in production right now. We're also going to be at the con, the conventions for all the cosplay. And we have two fantastic hosts, and that's an industry to industry type of show where people in the industry talk about the industry and go through the whole process of making the costumes, where they, who they met, what your influences, all that stuff. Fantastic production. That's Leo Omar is running that right now. And then we have the Bullet Chronicles coming out. That whole series is getting set to be pushed out to broadcast. And then we have PXR, which is a paranormal film. It's going to be filmed aboard a an abandoned cruise liner that's down the Delta. That's going to be very, very good. And then we have Bring the Noise, a TV series. We're working with Joshua Williams, and he's going to be pushing that out to various platforms, and hopefully we'll also feature that on the Scenes Plus as well. Brooke is coming out. That's it's been about a year in the making. Summer 52, and the last one is... What is the last one? There's one more. We got a lot of things. We got a lot of things to produce. We don't stop, man.
You're basically sitting on your hands doing nothing, right? I mean, no, you're on the move. How can folks get connected with Scenes Plus and Michael Skourdakis?
Oh, and, you know, we make it as easy as possible. So for Scenes Plus, go to Facebook. It's Scenes Plus Primetime. Look us up. And you'll get information on what we're doing, when's the next event. And then, you know, our connections in the industry and going from there. I would say if you're someone who has always wanted to be in a movie and don't know if you're going to like it or not, it's a great opportunity. If you're someone who's in the industry and needs updated material, we're perfect for it. If you're a SAG person who needs, you know, specialized material, we're your people. We kind of offer everything for everybody, and the price points are stupid low right now because there's a lot of people who have been off work and they're trying to get back in. So I think, you know, they start at 65, they go on up. A lot of this, and that's, you know, that's of course the introductory price. The prices go up from that. But, you know, for a couple $100, man, you can get yourself into production, get your material. We even Dropbox the full movie to you, so you have one for your personal collection. Plus, you have to take back, you know, behind the scenes pictures. We have a photographer, makeup artist on set. We the movie goes straight to Roku, our channel on Roku, and we go through our media distributor. So a lot of that stuff will go to other channels as well. You know, you're featured in the in our newsletter. We push out your bios to IMDb. We push your bios out through Facebook and social media, and that's all included in the price. There's nothing else around here that does that. So we're just happy to be part of the process, man. And there's a lot of stuff happening, and I can just chat for hours. But it's a fun industry to be in if you like it. There's a lot of work involved, but I'm still acting. I'm still in several movies. And then we're running Scenes Plus, and I'm also running Mighty Corn Dog Productions, which is my production house. So, yeah, we have a lot of things. I have a lot of things happening. And I hope to see you again on set.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I'll write something in just for you, sir.
I don't have the age range of 18 to 75 like you do.
Well, we got to work on that. Hey, we got a great makeup department.
Oh, man. People can see Charlie on Roku and Amazon Fire.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yeah, just the Scenes Plus channel on Roku and Amazon Fire. Yeah, we got a lot.
That's why I had you on, was to pimp the movie, but we got into life and everything else. That's awesome.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you're just easy to chat with. So, lucky we didn't have a couple beers. It'd be going on for hours.
Absolutely, man. I'm up on my way to Elk Grove immediately.
Well, yeah. Nice speaking to you, Dave. I mean, it was a pleasure working with you and seeing you on set. Everyone really enjoyed the energy and the talent you brought to the set. And I think you nailed the part, man. I mean, you're great, dude. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Let me ask you, was the whole process easy to work with as a customer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I knew what we were doing from a script standpoint, earlier in the week.
Right.
And then, being on set, if you're coachable, you're guided in the right direction by you and your vision and what you want out of the character. And I know that you had this, emphasis of kind of go big or go home, which was awesome because it brings people out of their shells. As far as the time commitment, I was in scenes at the beginning of the movie and end of the movie, but my time was blocked out consecutively.
Right.
So I wasn't hanging out for 7 hours,
right,
to do three different scenes. I was like, boom, 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 do your work. And back on 101 South. So it was all good. I highly recommend it. This is like an infomercial for Scenes Plus. But,
well, let me ask you.
It's highly recommended.
So Dave, so what got you into acting?
I was a DJ, top 40 DJ for a lot of years. And we had a movie director on as a guest in the 90s named Mario Bobino, kind of a East Bay Spike Lee type. Mm-hmm. And I just asked him, I'd always kind of dreamed about it, but never thought I could really do it. Not connected or not good looking enough or whatever. But I asked him, hey, if you ever, have some movie and you need some, smart ass waiter or whatever, just, keep me in mind. And I didn't think much about it. Uh-huh. And then a couple months later, my phone rings. It goes, hey, I wrote a new film and I got a part for you. And it was a movie called Consequences. It was a Boys in the Hood type thing. And he gave me a little decent role for a rookie. But I got into it then. And then I started branching off and meeting other people and networking and started studying the craft. I used to think that people could just either do it or you couldn't do it. Not thinking about training as being, something that actors needed. Continue to work on the craft and expand the reel, expand the range of characters, get more material, get the agent, and look to blow up eventually.
When you go back in history, what was the first introduction to acting? Was it like a school play or something? I mean, at what point did you lose your fear of being of doing something in front of a crowd?
8th grade. Now you see you've turned it around and they're interviewing me. It was the 8th grade year, Washington Junior High, and I starred in a play called Where is the Mayor with the very talented Lisa Hood. And that was the first time I performed and didn't go on stage again until my 30s or something in front of the camera. All the other years on the radio doing play-by-play and sportscasting.
Did you ever take any speech classes or anything that forced you to get in front of a crowd?
Oh, yeah. That was a part of my academic training. And then when I became a DJ, there was something that happened where it was kind of a part of me that I wish I could do all the time because I'm safe behind the microphone.
Right.
And so whatever awkward teenager may have been there is long gone, behind the microphone. So there was a pretty good personal transformation, into my early 20s.
Okay.
With being able to do this.
Yeah, I found that when I was in college, I had a speech class, and the teacher would have you write speeches. Didn't matter what it was on; it'd be like 2 pages just to get in front of the class and do speeches. And so there were some introverts who had a really tough time getting in front and speaking in front of people. And at some point, you just kind of you're up there working type of thing, and then I had an improv class where at college, and they would have flyers. They would have somebody go out, call everybody from the quad or wherever they're at into this auditorium. I probably said about 500. So there's about 200 people in there or so. And we go out there with little to no instruction of what we're going to do. And he would go, just give us some random instructions to do something on stage. And kick you out there, you just got there, and you did, and you're out there. He didn't pull anybody else. You were out there with the person before, so after a while, you just kind of were working. You didn't pay attention to the crowd. It was almost like being in the band. You're working. You're working with the drummer. You're working with your teammates. You kind of lose sight of the crowd, And after that, you just kind of worked. You're just out there acting. Everything else is
pretty easy. The whole thing about being present, right? That's what they teach you. And so many actors get in their head thinking about the next line or how am I supposed to, you know, behave here. But if you can be, you know, truthful and in the moment, you know, that's where some real brilliant work comes out.
Yeah, it really can. I think there's, you know, definitely a business aspect to acting, and that's, you know, it's not a single sport. It takes, you're acting with somebody else, you're working with a crew, you're working with somebody else, and putting all that together as a group is really beneficial. And I think, you do have actors who don't like working with other people, and you have actors who don't take direction very well. And hopefully you know that before you purposefully cast them in something. Scenes Plus, it's a lot of communication, because we really don't know that ahead of time. We haven't really worked with them ahead of time or before. So there's a lot of communication, kind of getting them out of their shell, kind of, you know, directing them and stuff. But, you know, you see the apprehension in people's attitudes, demeanors on set, and kind of work through it. But having been there is helpful. You kind of empathize with them and what they're going through. So.
You don't have to mention any names, but anyone like such a pain in the ass,
you know,
maybe they were really, really good, but there's no way I'll work with that person again. It's just not worth the headache. No names.
No names. My description? No. It's a pain in the ass. Yes, actually there is. Yeah, I did a thing for Netflix. Oh my God. It was painful. It was very, very painful. You just kind of bite your tongue a lot. And, you know, I'm getting paid, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's a lot of divas out there. There's a lot of, everybody. You know, they're people, you know, you're just dealing with people. You have to have people skills to be part of any of this process, whether you're in front of the camera or behind the camera. You know, Josh and I, we talk kind of nightly on all this stuff, on all these projects. And, you know, we kind of go over a lot of the stuff we've talked about here, just, you know, processes and personalities and trying to craft something that's different, unique, and works within our sphere of friends and tools. And it's a process, man. It's a lot of everything.
After we stop recording, you'll tell me some names, right?
Definitely.
Hey, oh, I got to tell you, we were mentioning Solana a little bit ago. I saw her yesterday.
Solana's not it, okay?
No. I was just circling back from earlier topic. We were talking about her before. I was watching CNN, and there is an Indeed.com commercial, and our very own Solana was a star of it. It was awesome to see.
She's everywhere. She's everywhere. Yeah. She's a fantastic lady, man. I love working with her. Did you see Summer's Vacation? I did a movie with her.
I loved it. Oh, yeah.
I wrote that where I couldn't understand her because she's Argentinian. And so let's just make it so I can't understand what you're saying in the movie. So that became a running joke through. She's cool, man.
That was a part of her charm, the chupacabra and all the stuff that you had no idea. You know, what she was saying, it was just charming though. Yeah. And very funny.
Yeah. She's a hoot. But yeah, she's going to blow up here pretty big pretty soon. She's definitely making strides, and she's, you'll be seeing a lot more of her. And a lot.
I didn't mean to go from diva to her. She was just top of mind. That's all. It wasn't like I was lumping her with those pain in the ass actors that you don't want to deal with.
I wouldn't.
We love Solana.
I would never say that about Solana.
Love, love, love. Hey man, happy birthday. Any other plans for the rest of the day?
What could top this?
Nothing.
There you go. I don't know. It's, you know, the night's young, so we'll see what happens. But
and so are you, as you continue to fib about
right.
your
18
age.
To 60. That's your age range.
Happy birthday,
thank
buddy!
You,
thanks for the time.
All right, man. I'll see you again.
Absolutely. I think you said 18 to 75. 18 though,
to 75. Yes. Yeah. Oh, we're stretched. Oh, that's quite a sizable range.
Anything to get a gig. the great Michael Skordakis from Scenes Plus. And you can check out Charlie on Roku along with Amazon Fire. Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Your positive comments, the five-star reviews are huge. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.